The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we made it to T-Town, Tuscaloosa, on a gorgeous October day. Yes, it is the first day of October, and we have landed on the University of Alabama campus, the fifth week of the season. We saw Alabama in Atlanta. We saw them visiting in Gainesville 2 weeks ago. We see them at home today in a monster game against Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin, and Matt Corral. Glad you're with us. We're here for the next 4 hours. So much to do and a lot of fantastic guests. We'll get you ready for the weekend with a headline that says, quite succinctly, Ole Miss won't be intimidated by the largest road crowd it's seen in nearly 2 years.
We gon' fight or we gon' stop a bomb. Yeah.
Everybody kind of has this game circled on their schedule. You know, our players have to be ready for that.
Nobody just beats these guys going in there just magically beating them. You got to have this structure as a team, as a unit.
Touchdown, Alabama. Roll Tide, roll.
Just an explosive team. Just wants to dominate in every aspect of the game.
Be fast, be physical, be able to run and throw the ball, and I think we will be in a good spot.
Respect, appreciation, gratitude, without a doubt, would not be here today without him.
That's why we've had success here, because we've had a lot of good coaches and they've done an outstanding job.
It's definitely exciting. These are the games you come to Alabama for.
We got the number one team in the country. Try to prove everybody wrong, so I can't wait.
So there are plenty of consequences about the SEC West as you look at that. Guess who is the favorite? But what if Ole Miss wins the game? A little bit different if Alabama wins the game. And, of course, Alabama is more than a two-touchdown favorite right here. It's not the only game going on tomorrow. The early game, 11 a.m. local time here, noon over in Athens. The Razorbacks, the talk of the country. Everybody is talking about the job Sam Pittman has done. But they will go up in class. They've seen Texas. They've seen Texas A&M. They've conquered that state. But can they conquer the state of Georgia? That is another question.
When it rains, it pours. This Saturday in Sanford, it floods. It floods turnovers and touchdowns, tackles and takedowns. And a sea of red engulfs the palace that we call home.
A sea of red and black tells you college football is back.
Decibel levels reaching unwavering amplitudes. Wind speeds reaching up to 20 to 25 miles per hour. Excessive amounts of thunder and lightning. Those in the path of the storm, well, they're advised to take precautionary actions. This Saturday, the dogs come off the leash. All hell is breaking loose. At 12, 3:30, or 7, we've only got one time on our minds. 60 minutes. 60 minutes of physical, break-their-will football. 60 minutes of hard-nosed, make-them-quit football. 60 minutes of war. And we're not going down without a fight.
It's a physical war. It ain't about how you look. It's about how you get.
And even in the sweat of day, Dog Nation will erupt. This storm comes with a roar of thunder. A sound that shakes the ground for miles and miles around. And that's exactly when you'll strike. So prepare to take cover.
So there's plenty on the line. Interesting matchup here. Offense versus defense. Two great defenses, but which offense is going to show up? That is going to be the question, and that's how this game will be outlined. It is, listen, Arkansas has, I mean, there's nothing you can say about Arkansas other than they've been phenomenal, but can they produce enough offense against an elite defense, maybe the best in the country? Those are two games. There's a game that I don't know why nobody's talking about, but we are going to. How about Florida? at Kentucky. Look how close these games have been. 2 years ago, Gators were done, and then Felipe Franks got hurt. 4 years ago, it was that narrow. It's always close in Lexington. The Cats have one win in modern time. They need another one if they want to continue their quest to get to Atlanta for the first time under Mark Stoops. Roman Harper, he'll be here shortly. It's a homecoming for Roman. He played at Alabama. Chris Fowler joining us from Athens. Katie George on the call for Auburn and LSU. That is late tomorrow night. Tebow will be here in about an hour. Chris Budden, who's part of the LSU-Mississippi State. Oh, hold on. I don't think that game has been. That game was last week. Mississippi State A&M is the game, and Marty Smith will join us. Greg Burns, the athletic director, and Chris Doering will wrap up the night. We will get to your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. Fridays are always fairly heavily trafficked, but we'll try to get as many calls in here as possible. Let's start with Tyler, who is from Alabama up in Florence. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I want to talk about the Auburn quarterback situation between T.J. Finley and Bo Nix. I kind of think Bo Nix has been a disappointment this season and every season he's been there. I think T.J. Finley deserves a start, and I hope we get to see him start.
Yeah, you know, Brian Harsin hasn't said that. There's all kinds of speculation that he wants to go again with Bo Nix. I mean, I'm just a shock jock here, all kidding aside. I don't know how you can't start T.J. Finley. To me, that would send a terrible message to your team. He went out there the other day. He earned it. And, you know, if Harsin continues to start Bo Nix, that's his business. But I just think that Finley has deserved it. He's deserved the starting job, and I hope he gets it. Hey, thanks for the call. I do appreciate it very, very much. Brody is in Alabama, too. Hey, Brody, go right ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Good to get
Thank
talk
you.
To you. I was calling in about the Alabama-Ole Miss game. I personally feel like Ole Miss is going to come into Alabama and shock the world. I really do. I Saban's 23-0 against former assistants, but I feel like that may change tomorrow, you know. I mean, the Alabama defense hasn't looked the greatest. I mean, they haven't really played many people, but looking back at the Florida game, I mean, Florida gashed the front seven most of the game. I mean, you know, and it's just, I mean, Florida put up 439 yards on them and averaged 6.5 yards a play. And I just feel like, honestly, with Lane Kiffin, I mean, Lane Kiffin, in my opinion, is one of the greatest offensive minds of this generation. And I feel like he's going to come in with a good game plan. And, I mean, I feel like it's going to be an offensive shootout, you know. And, I mean, Bryce Young may go out there and put up some points, but Matt Corral, I mean, you can't put it past that guy. So, I mean, personally, I feel like they're going to come out of Bryant-Denny Stadium with a win tomorrow.
Well, listen, if that happens, it will shock a lot of people, and it will resonate because it will change the dynamics of the SEC. Hey, thank you for the call. I do appreciate it. We'll talk to Roman Harper about that in a minute. We begin our guest list momentarily. We are live from the University of Alabama.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Our Gridiron Guests, brought to you by Johnsonville. It's always one of my favorite moments of the week. We just got through watching Lane Kiffin from Wednesday when Roman Harper, who played at the University of Alabama. They remember you.
They do, just a little bit. You know,
he played on 3 national championship teams.
That's what happens at the Paul Feinbaum Show. You can literally say whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
You know what? But it's not like anyone's going to say, well, no, he didn't, because everybody else did.
They assume that if you played at Alabama, you won a national championship. I was here before the glory days. I was here during a little bit of the dark period, but myself personally, I had a great career. I was able to make the one play versus Tennessee where I knocked the fumble out that they kind of like honor me and kind of remember me forever. So it was cool because of that.
We Tennessee graduates remember it well.
I met a random guy a couple weeks ago, and he was telling me about at Steve Smith's charity event at a Topgolf event in Charlotte. And he was telling me about him being at that game and that Tennessee game. It was a long time ago. He was explaining. He was going down. He said, and this guy, the Tennessee fullback, he's a really big guy, and he fumbled right before he goes into the goal line. It was the most heartbreaking. And I just kind of sat back, and I didn't say anything. I was like, you know what? I remember that game. And he's like, you remember that? I'm like, yes, I remember that game.
You look kind of silly at a charity. That was me. And the guy goes, no, it wasn't.
I didn't want to bring that out. I barely was like, you know, before the other person that was there, I told that person in their ear before I walked away. I was like, I actually was the guy that hit him. It's okay.
Listen, do it, George Rogers. We learned this last week. George Rogers walks around carrying his Heisman.
I saw that. Another funny story is Mark Ingram, our first Heisman winner here at the University of Alabama, his mom had his Heisman trophy, at the house. And she ordered some pizza one night, and they delivered the pizza at the house, and it was just on the kitchen table.
Right.
And the police dude was like, is that a Heisman trophy on your kitchen table? She's like, oh, yeah, my son, you know, he won it a couple years ago. So just know they can end up in the
Derrick
most –
Derrick Henry, right?
Right. But they end up in the most random places, and, yes, you can carry this trophy around.
If I ever win anything, I'm carrying it around. Let's talk about this game tomorrow because everyone's trying to come up with a reason why Lane Kiffin, like he's playing, will pull the upset. If we're sitting around here tomorrow afternoon at 6 o'clock and Nick Saban has lost to Lane Kiffin, what would the reason be?
Alabama turned the football over, where they had empty possessions offensively. And for me, big picture wise, just going straight up with it, Paul, this is going to be a possession game. As many possessions that you can create for your own offense, whether it's Ole Miss or Alabama, by either making them turn the football over or creating punts and getting off the field on third down, that would be the team that will win. This is going to be a high-scoring event. You don't plan on saying, we don't go in this game saying, guys, we're going to shut this team out. We're going to only let them get this many points. No. It's how many more times can I get our offense the ball back on the field? Whether you'd rather give up a one-play 80-yard drive to Ole Miss versus giving up a 10- or 12-play drive where now you're a little bit more tired, they beat you with tempo and some other things. You'd rather just give up the touchdown because the main goal at the end of the day is always get your offense back on the field.
Talking to Roman Harper. Roman, I guess it was 3 weeks ago tomorrow, I finally jumped on the Sam Pittman train. I got a decent seat. Now you can't get one.
You can't.
But I didn't realize as I made my way up and down the train, you're driving it.
I'm driving the bus. I'm all in at Arkansas right now. Everything they're building. And nobody wants to hear about how many recruits you're getting because it's all about what you do with those players when you get them on campus. Right. And Sam Pittman has turned the corner. He has changed these guys' mentality. And nobody thought that Arkansas had great players until Sam Pittman showed up. And they're the same players. It's not like he has recruited. He's not like he's winning with true freshman players or his guys. These were players that were already on this campus that he has developed, has changed their mindset, and they truly believe in everything that these coaches are telling them and what they're being taught. They do it the right way. They play every down like it's their last, and they play hard, and they play for each other. And it's something to be said about when teams actually play for each other, the man beside them, that how much more you'll be able to get or you will earn more in the long run. And Arkansas is a great example of that.
Roman, I've been wanting to talk to you about this all week, but I knew we would see you in Tuscaloosa because it's a story that bubbled up Sunday, Monday, maybe a little bit Tuesday, and then it dissipated, and the game's tomorrow night in Baton Rouge. And the reason I bring this up is, you know, I'm still trying to get my arms around what is happening, what happened and what is happening at Auburn, because Brian Harsin's team won a game. T.J. Yep. Finley came in. He fired a coach late Sunday, early Monday. I ask you because not only are you plugged into the SEC, you're also plugged in to the state of Alabama.
Yes.
This is where you're from. You have deep ties here, especially to a lot of folks who know the assistant.
Yeah, Courtney.
What's going on here?
Paul, let's just call a spade, all right? Auburn's offense has struggled blocking and protecting the quarterback. The quarterback has not played well. And they make a switch, which is great. T.J. Finley came in, finished the game off, helped them win that game, and it was awesome. And you see that, and now you see them fire a wide receivers coach, a young black coach that's from Alabama, that's from the Birmingham area, that's well-known and documented, that he's one of your better recruiters that you have on that staff. And now my only concern and question is not about what Brian Harsin does with his own staff and who he promotes and who he demotes. I care very less about that. But I'm telling him right now, growing up in this state and having African-American parents, when you come into that next child that you're trying to recruit in the Birmingham area where Coach Cornelius was from and very prominent at, they're going to ask the question, why did you fire that young black man? Why did you fire that young black coach? And you better have the right answer, or you're not going to get any other players from that area for the next few years. And there's no way you can tell me you can play and win games at Auburn and you not recruit the area of Birmingham where there's piles and piles of talent in that area. And you have to compete over Alabama, and you have to be able to get players that Alabama wants. And if I say no to Alabama, and I don't say no to Auburn, because now you can say, I can go to Arkansas. Why wouldn't you go to Arkansas over Auburn right now with that kind of turmoil or those type of question marks that are out there? And I'm not here to kick Auburn while they're down, but I'm just here to call it what it is. They have not played consistently like you'd like them to. They've only lost one game, a tough road game. They're not a bad team. But the optics of it from the outside looking in do not look good. And these are questions that will arise and will come up when you come in the recruiting trail, which we all know is so important inside this state.
Yeah, and, you know, Brian Harsin commented on it afterwards. He
moved
said,
on.
He said whatever coaches say. When,
right.
I don't know. You've been around, you know, pro football. You've obviously played college football here, but can you remember a time when an assistant gets let go after 4 weeks? And that happens maybe occasionally, but the thing that upsets some people, I think, is that Harsin ended up hiring his former
right
offensive coordinator.
Right. So he hires the analyst from within that had wide receiver experience. And from the outside, the optics say, okay, you're getting a better coach, a more proven coach. But if he was that good or that proven, why wasn't he already in that position before? He was the offensive coordinator at Boise State with Brian Harsin. They have some really great ties and connections. So what are you trusting? What are you doing? The timing of the move, it would have made more sense if you fired the offensive coordinator
right
and then promote him, because that is what's really wholesaling the whole thing and building the operation. It has nothing to do with the wide receiver coach. To me, you leave out with more questions than you do answers by making this move when you make this move. And now Auburn has to be able to answer these questions when you go on the recruiting trail. That is the first thing I would see. I know my parents would ask that question. And those are the things that parents are wanting to know, because they are entrusting you to watch after their son or daughter for the next 4 to 5 years of their lives when they're not at home with their parents. What is our coach going to be teaching them, and how does he look at each individual player, and how does our son or daughter get better while they're under your watch?
Roman Harper, some very interesting thoughts about the Auburn.
I'm from this state, Paul. I got a great insight on it. I know how it is. I know what it's like to grow up here. I know what it's like to get these questions. And I know what it's like to be recruited at Alabama and Auburn. And it is similar, and it's highly competitive. And you want to have every bit of edge that you can. That is why Brian Harsin was smart about bringing in certain coaches that had ties to this state. but it doesn't do you very well when you let go of those ties way too early into this process. You had all the reason in the world to keep as many people as you wanted around because this was a wash year. Nobody expected Auburn to win a national championship. All you wanted was to be bowl eligible and so see that Bo Nix had made some progress. Those are the only question marks that Auburn needed to answer. And now you're leaving at it after 4 weeks into the season. I have way more question marks than I do answers at this point.
Great conversation with Roman Harper here. We'll see more of Roman tomorrow morning on SEC Nation, 9 o'clock Eastern time. We'll head over to Athens in a few minutes. Chris Fowler on the call for the big Arkansas-Georgia game among many, many guests that will be dropping by.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. We're live in Tuscaloosa, but we're about to scoot over to Athens. Another major game tomorrow. It's the early game, the noon game, of course, between Arkansas and Georgia. And on the call, Chris Fowler. Chris, it's great to have you with us. And I know you're no stranger to Athens. I've done programs with you over there before, pretty memorable as well. It's great to have you. And I know you're excited to be doing that game tomorrow.
Very excited, man. We were here last year when Athens was kind of a ghost town on football Saturdays, but to be back here for the 54th straight sellout game that I don't think Georgia fans at the beginning of the year had circled as a massive top 10 showdown. Very few of us did. They thought this might be part of that lull with Vandy and then Arkansas, take a breather before Auburn and Florida, but it hasn't worked out that way. And I think they're nervous here about being more than 2.5 touchdown favorites over this Arkansas team. So I think Arkansas has their attention for sure.
Yeah, and Chris, I know you're there to do the game. Fans don't like these early noon starts because Athens, most people aren't even home yet by 8 or 9 in the morning in Athens. I'm curious, though, because you and Kirk are normally doing the primetime game. Realizing this is a big game, one of the two biggest games in the country, how did it end up that got switched around? I know we're inside baseball here, but I'm curious.
Well, Paul, I like my Friday nights, too, so I don't normally relish these early kickoffs either. I'm like a lot of the players and a lot of the fans, but we're excited about this one. I think that, typically we would do the ABC primetime game, which cannot be an SEC game, as folks in this part of the world know. But on special occasions, when you have a day like tomorrow, when it's a great time to be an SEC fan and showdowns all over the place and game day being here, this sort of fell naturally into place for us. And I'm certainly excited to have a chance to see Georgia for the second time and get a look at a team that may be tracking toward the playoff. But, it's very cool. I'll get up at 5 in the morning. It doesn't matter what time. I would get up in the middle of the night to call this one, Paul.
And for those who don't know that much about Chris, which would not include a lot of people, when you were hosting game day for 25 years, you were not going out on Friday night, because I distinctly remember one year I was in a restaurant in Athens, because I do go out, and you called me about 11 o'clock. You had like, I just have one question about your segment. I'm like going, why is this guy calling me at 11 o'clock? That's how, there was nobody that ever prepared harder than you did, because you were also doing game day in a game, so you had a lot in your plate back then.
Well, yeah, I was up late, but not out late. And I enjoy Athens on a Friday night as much as the next person. I have a lot of friends down here. I think this is one of the great college towns in America. So I'll enjoy myself, but I'll also be ready to go because they're trying to implore Georgia fans to not be blasé, to get in their seats and be seated and ready to make noise at noon, because that's not the normal MO. You know how it is. You get these early kicks in the SEC. Typically, it's not a big, big game, but that is not the case here.
Chris, when you did that game now 4 weeks ago in Charlotte, I just wonder what you must have been thinking, because I mean it was a defensive struggle, but since then Georgia has ascended to what many think is almost a co-number one, and Clemson has just about fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, I mean, I got to call one touchdown that night, and it was Chris Smith with a 74-yard pick six. We talked to him today. He said, thanks for giving me one highlight. But I don't mind a defensive game like that. I love a pass rush. And the way Georgia swarmed Uiagalelei for 7 sacks that night, we knew they were pretty good. Now, we didn't know Clemson was going to be this bad on offense, but that doesn't really diminish what I think of Georgia as a defense. I mean, Kirby is putting it out there that I'm not buying the hype yet. The verdict is still out on this defense, because they have played 4 offenses that have struggled, but that's in part because they played Georgia. They know they're going to have to get better. as they go forward in the next month. And October is going to define Georgia as a football team. This game, Auburn, Kentucky, and then, of course, the game in Jacksonville. After that, it tapers off, but it's all about October. And I think that they're ferocious, they're deep, they're athletic, they communicate extremely well, they like each other a lot. You know, connectivity, that's the program buzzword for Georgia. It shows up on defense. They got everything you want. Offensively, we haven't seen all the pieces in place yet. As you know, they're very banged up at receiver. They're hopeful that JT Daniel can go tomorrow. But when they actually get their pieces back on offense and begin to click, I think they'll be an even better football team a few weeks from now.
Chris, I'm curious. We're still young in this college football season, but you've seen a lot already. I think you saw Oklahoma last week. You've seen Clemson. You've seen Georgia. Is there an explanation of why so many really good teams are playing so poorly right now?
New quarterbacks, offenses in transition, I think, is part of it. Kirk and I both thought that coming into this season, the defenses were going to rise up a little bit. It wasn't going to be a case of the elite teams in college football all scoring 50 points a game. It's been pretty ridiculous the last few years in terms of what it takes to get into the playoff and win a championship. It still takes explosive offense, but I think that the defenses are beginning to adjust. You're seeing defenses like Arkansas, you know, play the 3-3-5, 3-2-6, whatever you want to call it. They're letting you complete the underneath stuff. They're forcing quarterbacks to check it down and be patient and not press. And that's the answer to the modern high-powered spread offenses. And I think the defenses are having a moment. So that's part of it. There hasn't been, outside of Alabama and maybe Georgia, a completely dominant team. But I think the pieces are in place here. I'm not going to say they just give the trophy out in Atlanta at the SEC championship game, but they do look like they've set themselves apart. I mean, you look at the talent here, Paul. You watch the practice at Georgia. I mean, everybody knows how they recruited, but you see the personnel, and it reminds me of what Howard Schnellenberger, former Alabama man, a guy who used to emulate Bear Bryant's growl when he used to talk about Louisville and Oklahoma, he would say, you know, well, we're on a collision course for a national championship. And the only variable is time. And that's kind of how it feels at Georgia. The variable is time, but I do feel like they're moving toward that championship. Their fans are hoping it's this year, sooner, not later. But the personnel exists here, and they're an impressive outfit. And like I said, we haven't seen the best of Georgia yet, I don't think.
Talking to Chris Fowler for another moment or two, he is live in Athens on the call tomorrow for Arkansas and Georgia. And it almost seems like overkill, Chris, talking about Sam Pittman, but the season could take a turn tomorrow, but I mean, it is still pretty remarkable to think about how bad this program was and where it is today.
Yeah, 19 straight SEC losses. That seems shocking when you look at it from the lens now. You know Sam very well. It's impossible not to like Sam Pittman if you know him, and you kind of root for him and his story and his teams because he's such a genuine, authentic guy in a business that is not corner the market on those qualities. But you know, before the season, it was thinking, you know, scrape and claw and battle to get to six wins. Any bowl game he thought would be successful, right? Like that would help recruiting and get them going. Now with it, the goals are much higher. Are they a top 10 team? We're fixing to find out. I'm not going to say yes sir, as Coach Pittman would say, yet. I think we're going to find out. But I mean, they're very talented, they're aggressive on defense. If KJ Jefferson can go, it's a pain management, pain tolerance issue for both quarterbacks in the body part that is crucial to their success, right? For Jefferson, it's a knee. They've got to be able to get the quarterback run going to make it work against Georgia, make their offense work. You know, for Daniel, it's that lat problem. He's got to be able to throw the ball and press the ball downfield to make it work. So which quarterback can sort of manage that better, or are we going to see a couple of backups in here? That's a possibility too.
Chris Fowler with the all-time greatest Howard Schnellenberger imitation I've ever heard. Chris, thanks.
You can't do that for long when you want to call a game, though. It ruins your throat, doesn't it, to do that for any length of time?
I was worried about you. And that is an early kick tomorrow, Chris, so be careful. Hey, thanks. It's so great to see you, Chris. Appreciate it. We're live in Tuscaloosa. Much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
0-10 is the number Auburn since in Baton Rouge since 2000. That is just remarkable. They have not scored well. The opponents have, and the Tigers can't do anything to find a victory down in Baton Rouge. Speaking of that game, we can't wait to welcome Katie George to the program. She's covering Auburn and LSU. Katie, thanks. So many storylines as we say hello to you. Let's start with who's going to be quarterback for Auburn?
Paul, it's good to be with you. Your guess is as good as mine at this point. I actually just spoke with Bo Nix and TJ Finley yesterday afternoon, and at that point, neither one of them had been told who was going to be the starter. So Harsin is obviously holding out. It was a competition where both guys split reps in practice this week. They went 50-50 with the ones and the twos. But I got to tell you, just my gut reaction in talking to both of them, TJ Finley sounded really excited. And I don't know if that was because he's getting to play in front of 24 fans and friends of his that are coming to the game. It'll be a return for him in Death Valley at Tiger Stadium. While Bo didn't sound dejected necessarily, he sounded hungry, but definitely not as excited because he obviously had a dose of reality a week ago. And I love what Mike Bobo told him on Sunday. He said, look, this is some adversity that you're facing. How you respond is going to define your college career. And they've been really happy with the way that Bo has tackled his work. He's really focused on his footwork, setting his feet. You know, Paul, better than anybody, that when you're not setting your feet and your footwork's all over the place, it leads to inaccuracies, which we saw on Saturday. So it'll be really interesting to see who starts. But Coach Harsin did tell us on Wednesday night, we should expect to see both quarterbacks at some point during this game.
Katie, not to get behind the curtain, but I am curious, when you do a game like this, coaching staffs often will perhaps say something to you and the crew doing the game that maybe they will not say publicly. I'm just bringing this out, but as of this moment, nobody really knows. I know you've already answered the question, but will they give you a heads up at some point, or you just don't know?
We will know as soon as we see which quarterback and number running out onto the field. And Coach Harsin was really honest and open about a variety of topics with us. And he just said to our crew, I mean, Greg McElroy was asking the tough questions. So was Joe Tessitore. And he basically said, you know, we don't know at this point. That was as Wednesday night when we spoke to him on our crew call. Thursday afternoon around 1 p.m. Eastern is when I spoke with both quarterbacks on the phone separately, and neither of them had been told at that point. They were going into meetings, so maybe it was announced to the team who was going to start then Thursday afternoon. But two schools of thought here, Paul. You know, do you wait and make the announcement late in the week so you keep both quarterbacks dialed in, locked in their preparation physically and mentally? Or is it better to tell the guy who it's going to be at the very beginning so he gets all the one reps and can start building that confidence for game time? So it seems like Harsin picked the first choice here, and we'll see how it works out for these two quarterbacks.
Well, again, I'm just a talk show host, Katie, but it almost seems like, and I'm curious what you think, that maybe there isn't going to be a big change for the start, and the game plan is already in, that it's a similar game plan that they've been employing, or Brian Harsin has every intention of, you know, letting Bo Nix play a series or two and see what happens, and then bring in Finley. I mean, I I mean, I know we're we're talking about the same thing in 15 different ways, but it's just so intriguing that, if they really don't know, how extraordinary is that based on your past and dealing with coaches on a weekly basis?
Yeah, it's pretty strange. It's funny. We've dealt with a lot of teams as a crew that have had two quarterbacks at play so far this season. So it feels like we're just re-racking each week. I feel like you would want to know who's going to be the guy earlier in the week, even as a teammate, right? So you can mentally prepare and you can start visualizing what things are going to look like in such a big game. These two teams have a lot on the line, even though one is only ranked. I mean, you know, the blood and the Tiger rivalry between these two. I think we'll see both. I think they'll start Bo. That's what my gut tells me. But if TJ Finley runs out there, I would not be surprised in the slightest, or we could see him pretty soon. I think Bo, if he starts, would be on a tight leash.
I think you're right about what you said. It just seems like the signs are pointing toward Bo starting and maybe not playing very long, depending on how he plays. Katie, thank you. I do apologize for asking you the same question 15 mm-hmm. different ways, but it is the story of this game in a lot of people's minds, and I know you'll be talking about it with Joe and Greg tomorrow night. Thanks so much.
Of course. Have a great day.
You got it. Katie joining us from Baton Rouge. It is a big story, to say the least, and just what's wafting through the air is exactly what you said, that Knicks may start and see how he goes. Let's get back to the calls here at 855-242-7285, and Zach is up next. Hey, Zach.
Hey, Paul. Big fan of the show.
Thank you.
How do you think the absence of Owen Papo for the Tigers defense will affect the game in any way?
Well, I think it could. Listen, I think everything could be a factor when you're talking about a game like this. I mean, this is an incredibly challenging game for Auburn, and it's the fact that anyone is missing is critical. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Paul is in Charlotte. Paul, go right ahead.
Yeah, Paul, I was curious. If you have a chance to pull up the Arkansas schedule, who else besides the name of Georgia or Alabama, maybe Oregon, who else would have conquered this schedule better than Arkansas?
Well,
with third year in a row, right?
Yeah, I mean, what we're talking about is essentially beating Texas and Texas A&M. I don't mean to disparage the job Sam Pittman has done. I'm not. I think everybody knows how big a fan we all are. But I don't think beating Texas at home and beating A&M in Arlington is something that a lot of schools couldn't have done, quite frankly.
No, sir. But looking forward, you look at that schedule that Arkansas keeps getting. We don't get the Vanderbilts and the Tennessees and the Mississippi State, we do, but we're not getting that schedule year over year, and that's a beating.
Well, your crossovers this year are Georgia and Missouri. That's a bad lot to draw. I mean,
last year Florida, wasn't it?
Yeah. You could not have drawn a worse matchup this year than being at Georgia. I mean, if you're looking in the SEC West, that's the toughest game you can draw, and if you're in the SEC East, the toughest game you can draw is at Alabama. It's really that simple. Hey, thank you so much for the call. Let's check in with Julian, who is in Montgomery, Alabama. Hello, Julian.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Well, I'm a Georgia fan, and go Dawgs. And just wanted to say that with the way college football is kind of, I won't say down, but we think it's going to be another year that two undefeated teams make it to Atlanta this year, with two teams from the SEC getting the college playoffs, being Georgia and Alabama, they run the table.
Well, Julian, I think right now that would be what I would say as well. Hey, thank you. Ethan is up next. Ethan, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. I was just wondering, what do you think Arkansas' chances are of beating Georgia? And if they beat Georgia, what chance do you give them of beating Ole Miss on the road next week?
Well, I'm not an odds maker, but I do think the odds are heavily against Arkansas winning the game. But I'll say it again, if Arkansas were to win this game, I think they should be the number one team in the country. That's not debatable. Then they would have accomplished. Beating Texas and Texas A&M is a big accomplishment. Beating Georgia is monumental. But and then it's a matter of, regardless of how this game goes, Arkansas can't let this game affect the next week at Ole Miss. And I'll say the same thing about Ole Miss. We are an hour in. Fun hour here. Chris Fowler, Katie George, Tebow in the next hour, Roman Harper as well. We're coming right back.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.